Alrighty. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Guys, dad is officially
kidnapped.
Back. Officially back.
Alhamdulillah.
I haven't seen you in almost a month, Pops.
Alhamdulillah. You've been around.
Around town, yeah. I went to Jordan and then Santorini and then back to Jordan and now here.
Yeah, ahlan wa sahlan.
I missed you, even though apparently you told Afaf when she asked you, when she came to visit you in Nasr Khaymah, do you miss Layla? And your answer was, I never miss anyone. And she found that very odd. We mentioned it in the last episode, which obviously you didn't watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, it's not odd. We have this thing where it's not that he doesn't miss me because he doesn't care, or he's indifferent. It's that he's connected to me with God at the center. So we're kind of always with each other, even if we're not physically with each other.
Well, if you have a bit of deepness at our time, then you are awkward and strange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you are also a little awkward. Okay, why am I this chair? You are a little...
You miss that which you do not
see. No,
yeah. You do not... Which you are far away from. How can I miss you when you are with me?
All the time. That's what I said. Yeah. Connected, Daddy. Okay, so I have a little something that I want to share with you. Because I've turned into an insomniac and I can't sleep. So I decided if I'm awake, I might as well invest my time learning things. So I've been watching documentaries or reading poetry again or certain literature that I haven't read in years. And I came across a poem that I hadn't seen in a very long time. And I thought it was the perfect poem to actually describe you and me.
Allah.
Okay? It's a poem by Rudyard Kipling. And it's a poem about what it means to be a man. And I know it's strange because I'm your daughter, but I think the essence of the poem remains the same. And I think I have it memorized, so I'm going to recite it to you. It's my little gift, Daddy, from me to you. It's a little long, so bear with me, okay? But I want you to listen to the words, because I think it literally encapsulates with just everything we do here, if that makes sense.
Bismillah.
Okay? All right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whew, all right. Listen to the words. And it's a little long, so bear with me, okay? If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can think and not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same.
No.
If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings, and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I really thought it... Do you know what it made me think? It made me think God knew exactly what he was doing when he put us together. So I love you, Papa.
Alhamdulillah.
And we're crying. This is the beginning of today's episode. Jessica, can I have a tissue?
Just yesterday...
Thanks, Habibi.
I
need to take it, babe, because it'll disrupt the light.
I had a very short text with you, and you asked me, I think you asked me also, if you are humble.
No, I said I need to humble myself.
Oh, you said you need to humble myself. I said, yes. I do think you have enough humbleness.
Humility.
Humility in you, but I asked you to humble more.
Yeah.
And my answer is, it makes it easy to fly.
Yeah.
The more humble you are, the easier you fly. And again, that may not sound clear to most minds, but you become light.
Yeah. Because the opposite of humility, it weighs you down. It makes you heavy.
Absolutely.
Even though people think it makes them stronger or... what's the word? Like untouchable almost? They think it's a protective layer.
Vanity is the most... is the most fake persona a man or a person can adopt. It's just so fake. It has... That energy does not really exist in the realm of spirituality.
I mean, yeah.
And or in the realm of fulfillment or in the realm of achievement. Mm. Vanity is the biggest enemy of the human mind and the human soul. And that's why it is very much connected to the devil and what he did.
Yeah.
In most of theologies. And it is not easy to let go of vanity because I catch myself every now and then marching like a peacock.
Yeah.
Within me.
I understand. Like the بينك وبين حالك, between you and yourself. I understand. Nah. Which is why I think this poem encapsulates like everything you've taught me so well, because there's a part where we mentioned the O'Keefe quote before, when we said, I have already settled it for myself so that flattery and criticism go down the same drain and I'm quite free. The reason I even understood that quote or attracted it into my life was because of everything you've taught me. And in this poem, he says, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. And this is something you've always, for as long as I can remember, even if I was great at something or succeeded at something or triumphed, you wouldn't throw a party and a celebration and toot my own horn. You'd be like, yeah, this is expected of you. Your life is a gift from God. So if you don't triumph for everything and every day is a blessing, then what's the point? And when I failed, you didn't make it a huge ordeal and made me feel horrible about myself. You
On
were
the contrary.
Just, yeah, you wanted us to fail just to get back up and try again.
Well, I don't want you to fail, but I want you to make the best of it when it happens.
I want people to fail. Because you learn a lot through failure. It's inevitable. So you have to.
It is inevitable. I know it is coming, but I don't wish it.
I understand. I mean, I want it in the sense that I want the whole 360 experience with the positive outcome.
Absolutely.
I don't want you to fail and stay down and
absolutely.
Not learn. Absolutely. Yeah.
There is no success without failure. There is no gain without loss. There is no taking without giving. There is no giving without taking.
Yeah.
It's the cycle of life.
I mean.
And I remember a very dear person to my heart once told me that when she was young, she was told that it is better to give than to take. And I told her, wait a minute here. That's a formula for
You've
poverty.
You've shared this story before. Yeah, I remember.
It's a formula for poverty.
Yeah.
And it sounds very wise. It sounds like the common wisdom that people throw around each other and actually hurt each other with. Yeah. And I said, the cycle of giving starts with taking.
I mean.
And we are takers by the nature of us.
Yeah.
We are receivers. And we can only give of that which we receive.
Yeah.
So if you don't take, how can you give?
I agree. You know, let's dive into that a little bit more, because I think the past few weeks, and we've gotten on a few phone calls and I've told you a little bit about this, but I think the clarity is coming to me more and more once I've, alhamdulillah, come back and settled in more. There's a sense of, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's not like you're a zombie and just being a robot through life, but there's a sense of sleeping. I don't know what the right word is. It's not coming to me.
Apathy.
No, it's not really apathy. It's more of just zombieing through life and almost not being aware, no recognition, no awareness.
This state of disconnection?
Yes, almost. Let's go with that. And so, على الأخد وعطاء, the giving and taking, a lot of people are aware of that concept of you give the love you receive, or you should be careful what you accept into your life. But I sense this almost zombie-like state of sleeping beauty where days can turn into weeks, can turn into months, and you almost don't realize anymore what you've given and what you've taken. Do you know what I mean? And I think there needs to be a rude awakening almost to what you are truly allowing yourself to give and what you are truly allowing yourself to take, you know? Because before you know it, your life has turned upside down, you're drained, you're whatever it is, and you don't even know where it happened. But it's almost because everyone's asleep through life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's done by design. I know it's done by design. They keep you occupied with a million and one things, and you don't even have the time to sit and recognize where it is that you lost yourself.
It's amazing how everything around is by design.
Everything.
And
everything, everything.
Well, I just, very, very lately, I said something. I don't recall if it was to you. I said it is one of the most dangerous things is to try to show the obvious to people.
No, I don't think it was me. I don't remember.
When you see people around you that are in, that cannot perceive that which is so obvious.
Yeah.
And you might think it is your duty to go and show that. Like, come on, this is the sun. It's there. How you cannot see it? Sometimes I would advise not to try to show it to them because you will turn them into your enemies.
Oh yeah, they will be extremely defensive because, you know, as cliche as it is, that saying, liars hate the truth and lies can't stand the truth and they'll shun it and they won't just not say anything about it. They will fully actively fight you and go to war. So yeah, it's true. You could literally be standing with a blue sky and telling someone the sky is blue and they will go and tell you, no, it is green because they've been programmed to believe that it's green.
You see, you are a liar when you know it's a lie and you're throwing it at people. But most people are really not liars. They just bought into the lie.
So I will say consciously they're not liars, but I think your soul knows, which is why they enter depression and sadness, because the conscious that is here isn't an active liar. I understand, because it's truly what they believe. But your soul always knows. And I think that's why they have depression, they have anxiety, they have panic, because and they don't understand where it's coming from, or they can't even pinpoint what it is, because your soul always knows the truth. Your soul comes from God and goes back to God. It is incapable of lying.
As long as you're buying into a lie, you
will
cannot.
Never find content. You will never be content. Never. Never.
Baba, you just took the words out of my tongue.
I know.
Exactly the words.
I know. Now you, as of course, that's why I'm saying there's this deep sense of panic and anxiety and fear. And this is why when some people will tell you, actually, I've been through this. I'm not even going to say some people. When all of a sudden I have a deep feeling of anxiety or panic or fear that comes out of nowhere. And on the surface, things can look amazing. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing everything I think I know is right. But there is something there which I've been lied to, either by design, by the matrix, whatever you want to call it. And my soul is basically not knocking on the door. It's sledgehammering the door. Wake up. And that's why I'm telling people now, don't shy away from these negative emotions that come. Take it as a sign that God and your soul is telling you something is wrong. You are either being lied to, you're either following a fallacy, just something needs to be changed. It's a little adjustment. And the equilibrium is back.
And the trap most of us fall in is that we take each and every situation by itself and we try to...
Yes, the disconnect.
The thing is, yeah. It's much, much easier. I saw myself doing this. I will try to explain this to you. I saw myself doing this. Someone would do something which I immediately will go and criticize as wrong. I may not say it, but within me, I find myself dissecting the person and like, wow, what a horrible human being.
I catch myself doing this as well.
But then I take a step back and I say, why is it horrible?
Yeah.
Because what he's doing is a situation. Is it the situation that is horrible or the techniques?
Yes.
If you are judging the techniques, do you apply the same techniques in other situations?
Yeah.
And find yourself okay with it?
Yeah.
And I've never criticized anyone for doing something wrong. And I did not catch myself doing it.
Yes, yes.
At a different stage.
Yes.
With different paraphilia,
yeah,
with different ingredients. Oh, but it's since it's my meal and I'm cooking it, it tastes good.
Yeah,
And that's how your ego traps you into becoming a liar and a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And denies you content.
Yeah.
So The issue is, the most important is how to smell a lie.
Yeah.
How to detect it.
Yeah.
If it denies you content. If it denies you peace.
Is content the right word here?
To be content.
Content, yeah.
Content.
Okay, because when you said content, it sounds like
social media. No, I'm sorry. This is my English.
They'll get it. Your English is perfect, Daddy.
I learned English as, I think I was 14, 15 when I started English.
No, you're great. You're doing lovely, Daddy.
Alhamdulillah.
I came across a quote recently. And I think, subhanAllah, it's just the month or week of understanding or awakenings. But I came across a quote by Robert Pierce. Okay. Yeah. Bismillah. So I came across a quote by Robert Pierce. Why can't I say his name today? It's okay. Guys, I'm so sorry. Again, slept at 5:30 in the morning. Okay. I came across a quote by Robert Pierce, and it says, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." And it didn't hit me until quite recently, because I'm still human and I can fall into old habits or fall into old patterns or somewhat repeat the same mistakes. And it's your ego that almost tricks you, almost wants to see you fail, wants to see you fall, just so... It's a whole toxic cycle, which is a whole different conversation. But that quote really hit me. I'm like, I go again back to old patterns or old people or old behaviors, trying to make it work even though it hasn't time and time again. And then I'll realize these are things that aslan to begin with break the heart of God. So if they do not satisfy Allah or keep me in His good graces and favor, why on earth did I think that they would make me happy? And then I sit there and wonder why I'm sad or why I can't sleep or why something is missing, you know? And subhanAllah, it really is as dramatic as it is. Sometimes one little mistake can tether a cord and it takes a lot to get back. So I think I recognize truly why it is that I preach discipline so harshly, especially on myself first and foremost, because I see the repercussions of the lack of it. And the price sometimes is too heavy.
The price is always too heavy.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
It's you see, life is like a raging almost river. It goes in one direction. If you wanna swim in the opposite direction of the current, well, you can.
Yeah. you can try.
You can, but for how long and how far you can go.
Actually, do you know what that reminds me of? Bismillah, I don't want to butcher this. Wasbir li hukmi rabbika
fa innaka wasbir
li hukmi rabbika fa innaka bi'ayunina.
Honestly,
I really thought about this. How far do you think you can go?
Allah.
Where do you even want to try to go to prove to yourself that you can do it without him? And more importantly, why the hell would you? I said this in the previous episode and people loved it, that we are a walking testimony of God's good grace and mercy on us, no matter what we've been through, and I'm sure you've been through the worst of things. But why would you want to go on without Him? What purpose does it serve? Who are you trying to satisfy?
You can only disobey Him with His grace.
This is true, by the way. Even going against Him only happens with His permission and His grace. And it is probably because He wants to teach you a lesson and whoop your butt. Just so you come back crawling with humility and never leave Him again. That is actually His mercy on you. Absolutely, I believe it.
If any one of you was a father or is a father, then he might understand. Your relationship with the beloved child of yours is just a manifestation of the relationship of our Lord with us.
Yeah.
And no wonder that in most religions and in most, even in our old Arabic, Rabbul Bayti.
Yeah.
والرب هو الله. The word goes back to the same origin.
Yeah.
To be a father and to be, and the essence of Godness or lordship.
Yeah.
Is very much connected.
That makes sense. Yeah, I said this before in a previous episode, that you never hovered. You always gave us the tools and taught us our lessons and, but you never hovered. You always kept a distance, not in the sense that you were an absent father, not at all. You always used to say, I'm not here to hover over you. I'm here when you need me, but you need to figure it out on your own with the tools that I've given you. But if you ever need me, I am here, which I think...
I had an episode a couple of days ago. My son became sick. Yeah. And although he's in a different continent, although he's thousands of miles away, I almost called him every hour. The minute he's fine, I'm not bothering him anymore. He can call when he has the time.
Yeah.
But that's how you see, I don't perceive myself or who am I or who I am with what people think of me.
Yeah.
And what people tell me that they think of me.
Yeah.
I had an incident years ago. Someone was a big, big fan of me. And he would always praise me in my face and tell people this and that. And my brother told me that, oh, this man would do anything for you. I said, wait till he turns. Because those are only opinions and feelings.
Yeah.
And I don't value them in any way or shape. And people who are so generous with their emotions, they are emotions. They can be sweet, nice emotions, which you accept and like, wow, I'm really dipping in, and I'm but wait for the flip to come and tell me how you react. The same person flipped.
Yeah.
And I maintained my posture with him. I maintained my love and respect to him. I maintained my loyalty to him. He's now with his God and I still pray for him and I still no, he came back at the end of his life and said that he's sorry, I'm the only brother he knew. But nothing changed. From my perspective, nothing changed.
I understand.
Alhamdulillah.
I understand. You know, I was in Jordan and I was with my friend Noor. And there's something about going back to your old high school town or like the city or little village or whatever town you grew up in. And there's a song by Dave, he's a rapper, okay? And it's called Screwface Capital. And towards the end of the song, there's a sentence he says, and it stuck with me from the first time I heard it. He says, have you ever had a good friend turn pagan, a pretty girl glow down turn basic? And I posted it on my stories.
Which I didn't understand anything of it. I actually wanted to call you to ask you to.
So it's lyrics from a song, okay?
Okay.
And it's, have you ever had a good friend turn pagan, a pretty girl glow down turn basic? And pagan in this particular sentence means someone who is vindictive, purposefully out to hurt you. And I really thought about just, if you watch the timeline of your life and the amount of good friends I've had turn into people who just want to see you fail, who will go out of their way to make sure you don't succeed. And you, at first you take it personally, but then you quickly realize it is strictly because they are fully hollow and lacking as a human. And the one that got to me the most, and it's probably because I'm a woman myself, a pretty girl glow down turn basic. You know the saying when someone peaked in high school, or the saying where just a beautiful girl and then you see her 5 years later, 10 years later, and the light is completely drawn from her face.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You can see that her soul is barely holding on to little fractures and pieces of the past.
Yes.
And just going back to my hometown now, don't get me wrong, all the love to my people, black, some of them are the opposite of that sentence, but select few. And the most just fall under a pagan and a basic. And it's the most humbling thing to see because they're not hungry. Like you travel the world and you meet new people or you are tested yourself time and time again and it's sink or swim, you know?
One of our modern time Blakes is that people are desperate for companionship.
Everyone's desperate for companionship.
Companionship can be very dangerous.
Of course, because you are the company you keep or the sum of the five people you surround yourself with.
Yes. A very dear soul to me told me with tears in her eyes that she doesn't have friends. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I can hardly count my friends in one hand. Maybe I have one or two.
Yeah.
I said, do you have one genuine person? You call him friend. And she said, yes, you. I said, that's more than enough.
talked about this last time when I mentioned the three girls that I could call up right now. So I didn't even say their last names. And one of them messaged me. She's like, you just mentioned me on your podcast. And I'm like, hell yeah. They know them. You know. They know them. You know? But based on that sentence, subhanAllah, when I was in Jordan, mom was telling me, she's like, because every time we went out, obviously, we run into people, we whatever. It was a beautiful trip. Don't get me wrong. But mom was like, you have so many friends. And I was like, I'm going to stop you right there. I know a lot of people. I have very few
very few friends.
They're two very different things. And the quicker you make the distinction between the two, the easier and happier your life becomes. Because I've noticed that a lot of people mistake fun friends or acquaintances or just people you know for actual friends. And that is just a fallacy. That's just not true.
For two decades and more of my life, I knew I had one friend.
Yeah.
Whom I hardly see him every few years once.
Okay.
Badr Lawjan.
Yeah.
That's, and I'm okay with it.
I've known Badr Lawjan since we were kids. Like, I've heard that name for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, I don't see him that much now. He's too far. He's busy. But still, he's in my heart, and my appreciation and love for him.
Yeah.
Will never.
Yeah.
It's just what it is.
Alhamdulillah. I get Alhamdulillah. You. I feel you.
As a young man, mainly I felt like those whom I could call friends were my professors, were my mentors. Yeah. I did not associate with people of my age and spend numerous amount of hours socializing. I didn't have that.
Yeah. No, I did. And it wasn't great. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I'll tell you that right now.
Alhamdulillah, I think I was saved from a lot of...
You were.
I saw my siblings and others who went that path.
But you were tested with different things.
Oh, we are all. See, one of the things I once said, I think I said it to you, Baba. A man does the best to avoid his children the traumas that he experienced. So they go, they choose their own traumas.
Yeah, of course.
So by trying too hard to make your children avoid or not pass through traumas, mm-hmm. is actually a trauma by itself, because yeah, this is not how life is supposed to be.
Of course.
It's that you do your best trying to make them avoid the mistakes you made, but don't force it on them,
yeah.
because they will just go choose other mistakes.
I also think you could be the greatest parent in the world, but some things are out of your hand. Baden, what's to say that you're not the greatest father in the whole world, but Allah katibli a certain test? It has nothing to do with you.
And
it's not a metric of how wonderful of a father you are. Do you understand what I mean? There are certain things that khalas, maktoub.
Maybe we should once talk about this. I see some of the feedback that comes whenever we mention parents and forgiving parents. And I see how...
the entitlement, the disrespect, the...
I'm flabbergasted by
people's... Yeah.
Like, yeah. What kind of indoctrination that made people think of that their biggest enemies are their parents nowadays?
Because, you know what? It's really screwed up because... I really, you know, actually, we're going to mention the poem again when he says, Bismillah, what did he say? If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools.
Oh.
And that one really sat with me because I will see the videos that I'm saying and it is a truth that I am speaking. And mind you, that it is a 30-second reel out of an entire conversation, right? And they will twist it to fit their screwed up victim mentality or their indoctrination or whatever will feed their... little drama, attention-seeking ego, okay? So when I say you have nothing to forgive your parents for, we said this, okay?
Yeah.
No matter what they've done to you. Did I say if your parent is abusing you, go back to them like Oliver Twist and say, please, sir, let me have some more? Did I say you need to stay around them? Did I even say you need to maintain contact with them? I didn't.
At all?
I didn't. You are absolutely within your rights to never speak to your parent again if they hurt you. You are not in your right to beat on them or disrespect them. Aha.
and even in our religion, there is حق الوالدين وحق الولد. Yeah. The rights of the parents and the right of the child. Yeah. It's very clear.
Yeah.
None your rights does not eliminate their rights, and their rights will never take away your right.
Yeah.
But what rights come first?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like
can go on.
No, you go.
No, I lost my thought.
Like there is nothing you could do in your life to pay back your mother, regardless of how good or bad or horrible or abusive or narcissistic or all of those titles that we throw now around on. Oh, she's a mental hospital walking around.
Yes.
She's still your mother.
She's a psychological book of illnesses.
Illnesses.
Every single one.
Every one of them.
She's still your mother. Still and guess what? Mother. Without her, you wouldn't even be here to be complaining about her this
exactly.
much.
Exactly.
But that's Absolutely. What I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that you're here complaining. Instead of wasting all of that energy complaining, I can't even explain to you what is at your fingertips. And can I tell you something? A lot of the comments come on that I'll see. Can you give an example? Can you cite a reference? You know what? I'm going to be really tough, love, and harsh about this. No. Google it.
It's very...
Honestly, I'm sick of it. Like, what are your credentials? I don't know. Maybe I read more books.
I remember once my daughter came. Your sister came from...
Wait, before my sister. Can we actually talk about this, the credentials? I'm going to say it loud and clear, and I've said this before, okay? Uh-huh. I haven't even graduated university.
And that
I
was
am a college dropout.
And that was by design. I forced you to leave college.
I wanted to leave college, Dad.
She wanted, and I actually encouraged it. Because
I think university is a scam. So I did. I dropped out of university, and my credentials are nothing. There you go. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I just wanted to clarify that. I have zero credentials. I am a college dropout.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It is my greatest achievement. And you know what? I will say this truly. I'm not even being sarcastic. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It is my greatest achievement.
Alhamdulillah.
My sister, you were saying.
Yeah, she came from school and I taught her something a few days earlier. And well, she wanted to brag about it and she said it in the class and all the class bobbed in her face like, no, it's not, including the teacher.
Because you taught her real history and not...
Whatever it is. I forgot the incidents itself. And when she came back and I said, listen, Baba, this used to happen to me when I was young because I would say a piece of information and if the teacher ridicules me and it happened, I need to go and put my head in the library for days sometimes to get the book that I read.
And find the source.
And find the source. But now that's not the case.
Yeah.
You had a mobile in your bucket.
You don't even need to sit down and turn on the PC.
Exactly.
And connect the Wi-Fi router.
And that's what I did. I went and I asked her to Google the information. That's it. It's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, people are lazy.
But still people, because... This is how our brain is designed.
It's not how our brain. It is done by design because there's the theory that's called the circus theory, I think, or the circus something. It's basically like the gladiator amphitheater when they put on a show and they distract you with, nowadays it would be considered a football match or so on and so forth, and they distract you and you're too busy and too high on all of those emotions and hormones to even recognize anything that is taking place around you. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely done by design. Add to that what I've always said, a 9-to-5, drowning in bills, drowning in whatever, and then the alcohol and whatever on weekends just to recover on a Sunday, to go back to the office on a Monday, to save enough money to pay your therapist to give you some more pills just to make it through the week and start it all over again. Who has time to Google? Who?
You think because... information as easier to reach now that would help in...
No, because no, they not. Flood you with false information and yes. false history. Flood you, overwhelm you. A little big word here and there that you don't even understand. And before you know it, it's like, oh no, I can't even sieve through this long enough to find what the true history or accurate information is. And it's very much done by design. You know what? Andrew Tate said we're in a matrix and I will second him. We are absolutely in a matrix. And watch the people come for me because I referenced Andrew Tate.
I have a childish habit of watching talk shows every now and then. And... I love them for one reason. They kind of reflect how and where.
Wait, did you just say a show you watched as a kid?
Talk shows.
talk shows now. Okay.
But they reflect to you the state of the mind of humanity around us. And what I said this because a sentence you said, you will find that the most idiotic of people are the ones that start the sentence with the most big bangy words.
Yeah. They also happen to be the loudest. But I am a little careful when I say this because some people might slide into my comments and be like, you're pretty loud, you ass. I will set myself up for that one. So I'm not doing it.
it's not the loudness alone. It's just that, why do they always start with such big bang words and then nothing comes after?
Because
it's all. I ask why. I know why. It's just that I want you to think. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. That's what I'm saying. So, for example, and I'm going to talk about this because this is going viral on social media. Fillers, you know, the fillers that women inject themselves with, which I am 1,000% against. I will never, inshallah, biznillah, do anything to myself.
Why, yet. Baba? Don't you want everybody to look exactly the
like
same?
Like the same factory? They're literally like just
exactly.
Coming out. Exactly. I know. So you have always said this, and I've always said this, we've known this. It migrates and it expands because it grows in water and we are 70% water. Anyway, you can just Google this now, all right? And I used to tell my friends, no, it naturally goes away and then you do it again. And I'm like, okay, fine, sure. So the thing is, doctors, right? You'll go to them and they'll throw a big word at you, like hyaluronic ana ma ba'raf shu, right? Okay, like C7 equator in the largeness of the metabol. They'll throw a big, you know what I mean? They'll throw a big word at you. Anything, watch Grey's Anatomy, you don't understand 80% of what they're actually saying, you know? And then you think, oh, yeah.
And then they must know something because they sound.
And what can you do? So, yeah, I will tell you, for example, I could have a debate with a doctor. I most likely will shut up when they throw a big word my way. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I don't actually know the intricate design of cells and. You do. I don't. But I'll bet my life I'll die on the hill that fillers don't naturally go away.
No, they
don't migrate and they expand. And before you know it, you look like a puffed up dolphin. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
But that's what they do.
If there is a minority of people that are born with certain, especially with women, certain features that are over exaggerated, like a hook nose or that's fine. If
I talked about this before, I'm not entirely anti-plastic surgery. There are certain extreme cases. I understand if you have a really crooked nose and people who are born with the lip.
Yeah,
I understand. La samahallah, car accidents. We always say trauma surgeons and plastic surgeons in these cases of extreme traumatic accidents, they're life-saving. They're phenomenal. I can't even begin to say how admirable what they do is. Tamam. But dad, a few years ago, getting filler was this insane luxury thing. Now it's like going and getting your nails done. It's like going and blow drying your hair. It is insane. The amount of videos I'll see online. Get with me to get my fillers update. Like, you know, when you have to go and... What's the word I'm looking for? Follow up every few months. It's madness. It's lunacy. It's insane. And then if I say this, I'm anti-women, let women do whatever they want. No, not let women do whatever they want when I know the repercussions and the damage, the long-term damage that it causes. No, I'm very anti live and let everyone do whatever they want. If it's detrimental to everyone's psyche, if it's detrimental to the cohesiveness and the oneness that tethers us all together, no, you can't go ahead and do what you want. That's madness. That's anarchy.
It is anarchy.
And I'm not for anarchy.
There is a price to pay. And it's a very heavy price.
Yeah. I think that's the title of today's video, The Heavy Price to Pay. No, I don't know if it's going to be. That doesn't make any sense.
There is always a price to pay.
There is. You're not just paying it with your hard-earned money. You're paying it with your soul, with your spirituality, with your health.
Longevity, with everything.
It's horrible.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Okay, we have a few questions because I sent in to the followers to send some questions. And actually, believe it or not... Dad, there's a lot.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. They've gotten I love my people, Saraha. God bless their souls. Also, speaking of when I said about depression, I don't believe in depression. A lot of people were commenting, I agree with everything you say, except I don't believe in depression. Some people have real mental health issues. Please look into the history of mental health issues before you go ahead and regurgitate what the propaganda wants you to regurgitate on my podcast. If you've been on this podcast long enough, you know that I am saying things out of somewhere. They're not out of nowhere. Okay. Ooh, this is a good question. How to deal with the fear of losing parents?
I actually...
lost both your parents.
I did.
A few months apart.
Remember that fear is fear. It's just a feeling. And it's not something that I have not experienced to the depth of my core. I was very much attached to my own son as a young boy. And I remember when he was 11, 10, 11, 12, I had an episode of fear.
I said this story to one of my followers, actually.
I wouldn't tell you do exactly what I did, but I'll tell you what I did.
Yeah.
And I was always had this thought, and it keeps on coming and going. What if something happens to him? What if he dies?
But there's more to it. He came to you once and told you, I don't think I'll live past my early 20s.
He said that also. And he was allergic and he had a few other issues. So
asthma and stuff, yeah.
What I did is I came to this point where I said, enough is enough. I woke up to pray. And in that night, I sat. I saw myself standing on his grave. I helped even dig the grave. I washed him. I rolled him in his coffin. I put him there. I gave him to God, and I cried.
Coffin, the wrap in Islam.
It's called coffin.
Is it?
Kafan.
Okay, all right.
And I cried my heart out, and I said, you gave and you took. Thank you. And all he's sleeping in the other room.
Yeah, it's literally all
all in my brain, yeah. All in my between me and my God. And Jalla wa Jalaluhu min Rabbin Kareem. And that fear went.
Yeah, you told me this, but you also, can I take it a step further? I remember you mentioned, because you told me this when I was really young. You told me, it came to my soul that he will have almost a spiritual death and he will be reborn. And I understand that because I think I've gone through it. I think you've gone through it. And subhanAllah, the follower that I said this to, she was saying that she feels like she doesn't even... It's almost like she's shedding a new skin and she's coming out as someone else because she lost someone, you know? And she said, ah, bismillah, I just remembered. She lost her cousin who was like a brother to her, like they were the only two and inseparable, and he passed away. And she said, we always knew we'd both die young. And I told her, I'm like, maybe he physically is gone, but you just have a spiritual death and that's why you're going through what you're going through. And it was like this aha moment for her. And I shared this particular story that you said about Zimo, because they're very young in their early 20s as well. So subhanAllah. But the fear of losing parents, I will say, when you said you gave and you take, you gave and you took to God, alhamdulillah, it's actually reminding me of bil Quran, Allah bi'ul, صح ولا سوف يعطيك
يعطيك رب سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى
ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. I think there's more to it than just than meets the eye. I think people always take that in a positive way, that God will only give you gifts and you'll be happy, or he'll give you blessings or money and you'll be happy. But I think it's also, like you said, he may give you the death of your parents and you will still find a way ترضى, to be happy. And it's I think about this a lot, because the question is how to get over the fear of losing your parents, because you lost both your parents a few months apart and you said it was like you were falling through a bottomless pit, an abyss, for months. And then you always sit with me and you say you're ready to go because you're ready to meet your Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And I used to tell you, no, don't say that. I still do. But بيني وبين حالي, I'll go and I will sit with God and I'll always say, you know what? You gave me 29 years with him. If he goes, then alhamdulillah, I am luckier than most. You gave me 29 years with him. Am I fully prepared for you to go away? I can't say that I am, but I can say that I'll always remind myself إنما الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى, and I will always tell myself that, like you said, you gave and you take, alhamdulillah, but I had 29 years with you and I'm luckier than most.
Alhamdulillah, our relationship with death has to be corrected.
You know who told me this on the phone today? No, my hairdresser. He was telling me. He's like, us Muslims, us Arabs, our relationship with death is very different than those in the West. We don't fear death. We welcome it. We celebrate it. We respect it. We understand it. We understand the divine purpose that it serves. It is not us who fear death. It is absolutely the West. And he's like, this is why we are fundamentally different. As much as there is a oneness and we are all tethered, this is, I have noticed, especially بحال العالم اليوم, that this is one of the main differences.
I wouldn't say we are the Arabs, because it's there in Quran. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is talking to people at the time of the Prophet.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not just Arabs.
And he's accusing them of fearing death, because this fear of death is a percussion of lack of spirituality.
Yeah.
Like when I say we need to correct our relationship with death, that happens almost naturally when we spiritually grow. A bit. You don't like a bit of spiritual growth. And one of the fairest things that happens is that your relationship with death starts to become different. Because.
Yeah, I understand.
In a way, the spiritual path is the death of the ego.
I mean, not in a way, it is.
It is. So you have to fiddle with death all the way if you want spiritual growth.
I think this is why, Kaman, you know how you just said if you have even minute amount of depth in today's world, some people may perceive you as awkward or unrelatable. It's reminding me of a quote. I actually have no idea who said this, but it's something along the lines of people will only understand you at the depths to which they've met themselves. Something along those lines.
I said that to you. I said people perceives you with
but
their own
But this is an
ceilings.
Actual quote. It is a quote.
Okay.
You know? But you've said it to me in different ways. Yeah. I understand. But what?
Yeah, continue. I'm listening.
Yeah, but it is an actual quote. So, Bismillah, what was it? People can only understand you at the depths of which they've met themselves. Something along those lines. And it's true, because if you, for example, have lost parents or have been through war or have been abused and there is a certain depth to you, a certain understanding, a certain layer that has been removed that not every other Tom, Dick and Harry will understand. And it may come off as loneliness. It may come off as you're a pariah, or you're awkward or unrelatable, but that is your journey. And then there are a select few that have been through a similar journey and will understand you. But I would rather be alone with the depth that I've acquired and that has been bestowed upon me than understood by the masses. Because I'll tell you something that I've really learned, okay? Because I have, and God bless them, they know who they are, that have left comments on my video, this woman should go viral, but she'll never go viral because of the propaganda and the all of that, right? They, you know, shut you down. I'd rather be understood by the select few than loved by the masses. I'll tell you that right now. And I said understood by the select few, not loved, rather than loved by the masses. The masses mean nothing to me.
Masses mean nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because the masses are the first to flip on you with their pitchforks and burn you at the stake. If you say one thing
It's a whimsical state that
scratches their fragile ego. They will burn you at the stake like the Witch of Salem.
Yeah, it's a whimsical state.
I mean, and that is our episode for today, guys. Daddy, this was great. This is one of my favorite episodes.
Alhamdulillah.
Right? Look a little more ecstatic.
Do I need a filler?
What did you think of the poem, though? Because you cried. People can't see you, but he cried. He shed a tear. Why are you pushing the mic away? We need to hear you.
I said actually more than one. It was really deep.
Right?
One of the wisdoms, I think it is, I don't know if it is a hadith or min kalam Sayyidi Ali ibn Abi Talib. Alayhi salam Allah.
If you say in ta'arif rabbaka, no ta'arif nafsak or whatever.
اطلب العلم ولو اطلب العلم ولو في الصين. من حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وعلى آل بيتي الكرام، الحكمة ضالة المؤمن. الحكمة
wisdom
is ضالة is something that
النور.
You know when you have an animal that got lost and you're looking for it, your camel went astray and you're looking for it,
mm-hmm.
that's the state of ضالة. ضالة المؤمن. Wherever he finds wisdom, he أولى بها. يعني he should seek it more.
آه تمام.
So wisdom, it might come in all languages, in all forms, and from any nation. Just take the wisdom. When people just come and stand in front of you in your episodes, and then they just talk about the hijab, and like okay, I understand, but don't you see anything else?
Does this have nothing? What does this have to do with the poem?
The hikmah.
Huh.
The amount of hikmah, wisdom I saw.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. But you know, a few comments will comment. They'll be like, everything she just said, and this is what you're focused on. And you know what? Focus on it. Stay lost, little lamb.
Yeah. This is not for public. But if you want to.
No, Dad, can we wrap it up? Oh, you can say it?
I can say it.
Okay.
In the Egyptian slang, they say. قال له يا بابا علمني الهيافة. قال له تعال في الهيفة وتصدر. A boy is asking his father, teach me how to be trivial.
Yeah.
He said, go to trivial things and act like a leader.
Fact. My friend Sally, she's Egyptian. Do you know what she tells me sometimes when we're talking about people? She's like, انت حمار ولا شكلك كده.
تعبيط ولا شكلك.
Yeah, انت عبيط ولا شكلك كده. Which means like, are you stupid or do you just look it? And when she says it so casually, because she's telling me about work or a serious conversation, I'm like, you know what? There's a few people on the top of my mind. But anyway, thanks so much for today, Dad.
Yeah,
let me take you out to lunch, sweetie boo.
Allah, I have to go to.
Bro, I haven't seen you in a month.
Okay, let's go to lunch.
All right, say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum.
Say you love me.
No. All right. Bye, guys.